Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set for match day two across the SPFL. Callum McGregor retires from international duty. Is he about to be joined at Celtic by Adam Ida? Rangers are ready to call Hampden home for a while, starting against Motherwell tomorrow. And both Kilmarnock and St Mirren leave it late to rescue draws in Europe. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me this evening you have Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans.
Congratulations to Callum McGregor on what was a terrific international career, 63 caps long. But I think this is the beginning of the end for the side that Steve Clarke created and took to two European championships back to back. After McGregor, will there come McGinn and will there come Robertson? The demands on modern day players at club level are becoming increasingly hard to deal with, and international football for Callum McGregor was just a bridge too far now.
Scott, you're back in action, you're involved in Kelty these days, you're keeping an eye on everything else across the SPFL. Is it good to be back, have the new season up and running?
Yeah, I think after the Euros, which we enjoyed Scotland being there, maybe not so much the performances, but then it comes to the domestic stuff that we all love so much, so it's good to be part of it again. A bit different for me, obviously helping a bit with the coaching and still playing on the pitch, so it is a bit different, but I'm really looking forward to it.
0141 951 1025, that is the number that you need tonight. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. So let's hear what you've got on your mind. The big story of the day is Callum McGregor's international retirement. What's your view on that then? If you're a Celtic fan and solely a Celtic fan, I think you're probably happy. Is the hope that you know, prolongs his Celtic career. If you're a Celtic fan who also likes Scotland, you might be worried about the impact on Scotland's midfield. Any other Scotland fans out there, how do you receive that news today? Do let us know. 31-year-old, 63 caps, pretty much an ever-present under Stevie Clarke. So what's your reaction to Callum McGregor's international retirement? On the theme of Celtic, another day, and Matt O'Reilly's still a Celtic player, so I'm sure you're happy to hear that. Is Adam Ida about to rejoin? Another bid's gone in, looks like £6 million. Advanced talks look like it is getting there after a fair wait over the summer. And of course, on to Hibs on Sunday. The Scott Allen derby, is that maybe pushing it? We'll give it a go between now and 8 o'clock. Rangers fans, how are you feeling about tomorrow then? There's been so much talk over the summer about having to play at Hampden, but now it's reality, it's here. What impact do you think it will have? Philippe Clement says he was involved in the process to pick Hampden, if you like, or arrange Hampden. He even mentions there was English stadiums involved, can you imagine? So what do you think tomorrow? Does it have any impact? Is it business as usual? Would you expect Vaclav Cherny and Robin Proper and guys like that to make their first league starts at Hampden? Or have you other ideas after the game in midweek? St Mirren fans, Kelly fans, where are you? I'm sure it was a brilliant end, that real outpouring of joy. There's nothing better than a late equaliser when you're up against it in Europe. Is it going to be enough though? How do you view your team's performances in Europe and anything else? 0141 951 1025.
Well, I think everyone looking forward to a terrific weekend. The mood around Rangers has changed significantly because of what happened in Lublin in Poland on Tuesday night. I think many people expected Rangers to possibly be on the receiving end of a going over from Dynamo Kiev, but it did not happen, and I think it changes the whole mood around the first game at Hampden. And, sorry Gordon, but Motherwell falling apart because of injuries, and will field a makeshift team at best against Rangers. I can't help but feel you're in for a long afternoon.
I mean, usually you couldn't predict what day of the week it was going to be tomorrow, so that wouldn't bother me.
No,
I do fear you could be right. A lot of injuries, it's not an ideal scenario. But Scott, we always talk about Scottish football, you know, as if it's not sort of busy enough and producing enough stories. Rangers are going to Hampden tomorrow. We're just off the back of European football. And then, out of nowhere in a sense, Callum McGregor announces his international retirement.
Yeah, I just think that's the merry-go-round of Scottish football. It gives us lots of talking points in terms of Callum McGregor, someone I've played with. I think fantastic Scotland career, getting to two tournaments, as you touched on. But I think when you go over 30 and you played as many games as he has, he's now trying to prolong his Celtic career and deliver as much as possible. I think if you look back on last year, when he did come out of the team for a few weeks with injury, when he did come back in, it took him a couple of weeks to get back to normal, as it would any player. And people were raising question marks about him, as it maybe past it day type of things. And he's most certainly not. He was fantastic last week, and he has been for Celtic in pre-season, and he's going to be huge going forward.
There's no doubt he's done it to elongate his Celtic career.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
He will take some replacing at Celtic. Mm. We talk about Matt O'Reilly and Hatate and all the rest of it. McGregor, when the time comes, will be a heck of a man to try and replace.
Well, looking at the phone lines, that seems like a good place to start. If you've something else up your sleeve, Rangers fans, what impact, if any, will the move to Hampden have tomorrow? Who do you want to see play? Todd Cantwell situation still bubbling away in there as well. We'll look back on Europe last night. If you Kilmarnock and St Mirren fans would like to step up to the plate. But I'm looking at the calls coming in. Let's start with Callum McGregor. So if you have missed it, a quick recap on the news that came out round about this lunchtime. The Celtic captain retiring from international duty at 31 years of age, 63 caps, scored Scotland's only goal at Euro 2020, started every game at Euro 2024, has been almost an ever-present under Stevie Clark. So clearly a big decision. It's not like it was a Scotland career that was slowing down in any way. He's decided to call it quits. Celtic fans, is that good news? Selfishly, is it going to elongate his career? And in a wider sense, for all Scotland fans, is that a big blow given his involvement in recent years? Let's get stuck in with Gary, who's in Blantyre. How are you, Gary?
Yeah, I'm all good, Gordon. Thank you. Good evening to yourself and Hugh and Scott.
What do you make of that news then, Gary? When you heard it, I mean, was it a surprise? Or?
I've literally just heard it there. All right. I'm driving to work. You've just broken news. So
glad to be of service.
Yeah, thank you. What I would say is, and I say to the producer, Callum McGregor's made a career, a very good career, of making the right decisions, be that on the park, on the ball, or be that off the park, how he's kind of, you never see him in the front of a newspaper. It's only football with Callum McGregor. So he makes the right choices for him, for his career, and ultimately for his family. So as a Scotland fan, sad to see him kind of retire at this kind of, you would say, early age, at 31. But again, as a Celtic fan, yep, if that prolongs him for a season or two at Celtic, all good. But what I would say is that the midfield area, and I know Hugh mentioned there about McGinn maybe coming out and retiring shortly or whatever else, that is totally an area of the park where we were stronger. And maybe something like Billy Gilmore now is going to get his chance. And again, maybe Callum McGregor's thought about that. He's knows if he's not leaving the team in the lurch. They've got players there that can step in. But thanks to your service, Callum, and I look forward to keep it up for Celtic for a number of years.
Yeah, let's go Celtic angle first then, if you like, Scott. And just as a player, I would imagine you just completely understand that. If you're a player, you're just looking after yourself, obviously. I think it was in the last five seasons, he's played something like 290 games five seasons.
I think when we're talking about Callum McGregor, you can definitely see why he's done it. I think I've been on the show a few times, and when we revert back to talking about Callum McGregor, it's the amount of games he's fit for and starts and finishes, and that's club and country. So yeah, I can totally see from looking after your body and trying to prolong your Celtic career and playing at a consistent level, then there has to be a wee bit of coming and going, and he's weighed up and thought this is the best decision for himself and for his body.
Because fans don't need to understand Hugh. Fans are allowed to be romantic about it and say, I'd never retire from my country. You know, they'd need to retire me. I would just I would just sort of carry on. It's a great honour, all that stuff, and I'm sure Callum McGregor thought it was a great honour as well. But is the modern demands on player then, is that where that, you know, contradicts that romantic notion?
Our own Fraser Wishart, on behalf of PFA Scotland, recently made a statement about the demands, the physical demands being placed on top class players, and the fact that you're basically flogging them to death, and there's no respite. So Callum has taken the only form of respite he can, and he has retired from international football after a very, very good career as a Scotland player. And I would also pay tribute to the strength of Callum McGregor's mentality. This is the guy who replaced Scott Brown as the Celtic captain. When Scott Brown went away from Celtic Park, he thought, how do you replace him? The trophies that he's won and the influence he's had. McGregor came in and it was a seamless transition. He picked up where Scott Brown left off, and I think he's been immense for Celtic as well as his country.
Gary, is it? I mean, it'll obviously be your hope that it elongates his Celtic career. Do you think that will happen? Think that's going to have the desired effect?
Well, what I think is, I think he's the kind of person who he'll know when it's time to kind of, I don't think he'll ever move on to Celtic. I think he'll know when it's time to kind of, again, pass the baton over to whoever's come next after Callum McGregor. A very unselfish person, so I don't think you'll ever see him kind of fade away. I think he'll just go when he knows it's time to go. Again, hopefully that's another 3 or 4 playing at the level. But like I say, he's played so many games that it's sure it's going to take an effect on his body, which is probably why he's kind of called it a day at Scotland. But yeah, well, hopefully he's here for another few.
Yeah, Gary broke up a bit there. We'll try and get him back. I think that's why it's quite a big deal, though, if you like, is what Gary said. It's not like Callum McGregor, and take Gary's point, he's not leaving Scotland in the lurch because there are a lot of midfield options. But if Scotland played a big game tomorrow, Callum McGregor would start it. You know, recent history tells you that he plays all the time.
Yeah, we all know his qualities and what he delivers for either Scotland or Celtic when he's playing. But when a door closes, another one opens for another player. There's young players coming through. You know, there's guys in the 21s maybe pushing to trying to get into the first team squad in the national team. Your Lennon Millers, the type of players. There's now going to be places up for grabs in the national team, certainly after the back of the Euro. So a door closes, another one opens for another player to come in.
Now let's hear Brendan Rodgers' thoughts on it. He, again, selfishly admits that Callum McGregor can now just fully focus on Celtic after retiring from international duty.
I had obviously spoken to Callum on that and was aware of his intentions. So yeah, listen, he's had a great, 7 years with Scotland, 63 caps. From a selfish perspective, of course, for Celtic, it's really good news because he will recover, he gets a chance to recover. I think you all know the number of games that he plays. So this will give him those little opportunities to have a breather because he's really intense, Callum, and that's what I love about him and his appetite to improve. He never has a day off, ever. Even if he has a free day, he's either recovering, he's thinking about the game. So these little windows that he will have will give him the chance to do that. But a fantastic career he's had for his country. He can be very proud of that. And now getting into this next part of his career, he has all his focus on Celtic. He's 31 years of age, he's still got so many games. He's played over 500 odd games in his club career. He'll have many more to come, but he knows that he'll probably want to. He'll need to look after his body. Fitness-wise, he's in really good condition and he's probably looking more to the future, really.
Gary, you will have seen a similar scenario, and Brendan Rodgers would have seen a similar scenario with Scott Brown as well. Did that work for him?
Well, Scott Brown, again, he never, like I mentioned before, I think he said they'd cut off. He never faded away either. He left when he knew it was time to go. He kind of passed the baton. Callum McGregor will do the same at Celtic. He won't kind of suffer mediocrity in the Celtic midfield. So yeah, like Brendan Rodgers says, it's going to give him more time to kind of when there's international breaks. And like Brendan says, he's such a consummate professional. On days off, he's in there. He's always thinking about the game, about the team. He can't speak highly enough about the guy. So yeah, he's kind of. how do you replace him? But like Hugh says, how did you replace Scott Brown? So I'm sure, listen, people come and go. But listen, we will enjoy my Celtic for another few years, hopefully.
His place in Celtic's history is assured. He, along with Scott Brown, they've won so many trophies that their place in history is guaranteed. And likewise with Scotland, he gave everything. But I think Germany was a watershed moment. I think we all understood that it was time to look at other players coming in. We've had back-to-back major finals. That in itself is to be congratulated. But Germany was a watershed moment. It's time to think about the immediate future. And Callum McGregor has clearly decided it was his watershed moment.
Looking at it though, Scott, do you feel like he's trying to get ahead of it? It's not like he's really slowing down just now, is it? That, as we said, you know, he would have been involved in Scotland. It's not like he's at a stage now where, okay, he's not starting games for Scotland and he's just sneaking into squads as like the 22nd man. Is it about sort of seeing that coming and then just doing it first before it starts to take a serious toll?
Yeah, and that's not an easy decision to make in football, because part of him will obviously be really excited going away with Scotland, obviously having the armband at times as well. So yeah, he's definitely trying to get ahead of it. And like I said, we don't understand it. Me as a player, sometimes it's hard for people to understand. Like, you only see them on a Saturday, and if they're given everything, you think they're fit as a fiddle. You don't know how they're feeling during the week when they get up every morning. You don't know.
My 10-year-old grandson met him in the street one Sunday, and his mother couldn't get her phone out of her bag. You know, the young women today, huge bags they carry about. And he hasn't spoken to his mother since. So, Callum, if you're listening,
you get to arrange a picture.
Yeah.
Photo opportunity.
Yeah,
anyway.
Thank you very much to Gary and Blantyre. If you have any thoughts, agree or disagree with what you're hearing, now would be a good time to share them. And whilst I tell you about this. Cash register with winhappy.com. Another call was made to the cash register this afternoon, and it went all the way to five rings unanswered. That means it's a triple rollover. But as in Callum McGregor's situation, as Scott Allen says, when one door closes, another door opens, and your life could now change on the next round of the cash register, worth a huge £280,000. Here's how to enter. You text YES to 61025. That's YES to 61025. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for £2 or call 0330 880 4523. Calls there are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only, and the entries since we opened the lines at 6am on the 22nd of July have rolled over. All the rules for this Rio network competition are on our website, and the lines close at 5pm on Friday. To win, just answer your phone within the five rings, tell us this week's cash register amount, £280,000, and the money would be in your bank account straight after the call. Doesn't really matter for folk like Hugh, because he still has to go down to the bank and get, you know, with, get his bank book, you know. But Scott Allen would just check it, just refresh his balance, and then it would be. So text YES to 61025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen, Hugh Keevans are here on 01419511025. Please do get in touch. What are you thinking tonight? We kicked off discussing Callum McGregor's international retirement. Celtic fans, Scotland fans, interested observers, what do you make of it? You know, understandable, I guess, the number of games that he plays. Anyone out there disappointed in the news? Does it prolong his Celtic career? What does it do for Scotland's midfield? Give us all your thoughts right now, please. In terms of club football this weekend, Rangers fans, it's been a summer of speculation about it, so now we're here. Now it's a reality. What difference, if any, do you think it makes playing at Hampden tomorrow? Does it reduce Rangers' chances of winning the game in any way, or is it business as usual on the pitch? Be keen to get your thoughts on that now that it is a reality. You know, over the summer it's been some sort of distant concept, but tomorrow, Rangers against Motherwell at the National Stadium. Where are you, Kilmarnock and St Mirren fans? Really keen to hear from you, because the joy of scoring a last minute equaliser in Europe is a brilliant sensation. Is it going to be enough going forward to next week? What did you learn last night? 01419511025. Dean Note is on the line. Dean, what was your initial reaction to Callum McGregor's news today?
I mean, he's such a crucial player for this national team. It's such a big loss. I cannot overstate it. The way he passes the ball, the way he strings up, he's such a key instrument in this national team.
Well, that's for Steve Clark now to work out. He's been given notice. Callum has retired from international football. But I repeat, I think Germany was a watershed moment. We did not have a good Euro 24. And it's time to re-examine the squad, see who might carry the torch into the next tournament, wherever and whenever that might be. We've got players, a lot of them, who are getting to that Callum McGregor type age. And Steve Clark has got a job in his hands now. I think we are a national team in need of reimagining.
It's a difficult one, that, though, because the volume of games, yes, I get that. So if you, maybe these are the same thing. But when Hugh says, you know, getting to that age, for me, 31 is not retire from international football age, if there is such a thing.
It depends on the player.
If you're playing 60 games a season, yeah, maybe it's different. But, I mean, that's still quite young, is it not?
Yeah, it is quite young in terms of by today's standards. You do have all the recovery tools at your disposal to use, and Celtic will have all of that up at Lennox Town. But like I said earlier, I think you don't know how the player feels day to day. You only see them on a match day, and for a match day you can kind of get through the pain, the adrenaline, especially when you're playing for a club as big as Celtic. So you don't know how the player's managing things day to day. You only see him on the match day.
Because you're right, there's some in that bracket, Hugh, but I have no idea if this is going to be some sort of domino effect. But maybe he's the only one. I don't know who would be the other candidates. Some like a Kenny McLean, a Grant Hanley.
Yeah.
But of that group who almost, you know, start every game, I don't know if any others will follow.
I don't know if Fraser's on our programme tomorrow, but it would be interesting to get his take on it, because he was the one who highlighted this issue.
He has sent me a message since we've been on.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of our pundits. Even when they're not working, they're listening, and they feed in.
Fraser, you're always on my mind. I put your name in early there.
Because there was that story. So the top European leagues, including the Premier League and FIFPro, which is the Global Players Union, they are launching legal action against FIFA over its abuse of dominance in the game. So talking about protecting the welfare of players, pressure from leagues, players, about the number of games basically in the calendar, the impact it has on players. They say it's beyond saturation and unsustainable for national leagues,
yep,
and a risk to the health of players. I don't know if you saw Ruben Diaz. Did you see him, Scott? He uploaded his schedule, his calendar,
incredible,
to social media. I know yours is probably pinned to the fridge and you write it on, but
pinned to the kitchen wall.
His was like a colour-coded document that he uploaded, as if to basically point out that they never get any time off.
Well, you know, I don't know the extent to which Callum was influenced by anyone at the club, or whether this was just something he felt he had to do. But I think he's right to protect himself, and Celtic are right to be glad of him focusing exclusively on club football, because Celtic are about to embark on another Champions League, an extended Champions League, a revamped format. Celtic are expected to retain the title, Scottish Cup. They didn't get the League Cup last season. They'll be expected to go after that right away. The demands are endless.
Yeah. And that's the thing, Scott. Like Brendan Rodgers says it was mostly a listening exercise. It's obviously Callum's decision, and I'm sure it was. I don't think Brendan Rodgers would have tried to discourage them. You know, he's seen it before with Scott Brown, like we said. He admits, selfishly, kind of good for him, prolongs it. So I don't think he would have been putting him off the idea.
No, I think personally he would have been delighted. We know how integral Cal McGregor is to that Celtic team, and if he is missing, whether it's through injury or maybe for rest, because the amount of games,
because there's more Champions League games this year as well, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. And on top of that, the intensity of these games are played, that is, I can't tell you what he's probably put in the last 5-6 seasons is incredible, considering the amount of football he's played.
Dean, you're on to say you think it's a real worry for Scotland, but you're also a Celtic fan. I think the Celtic ultimately benefit here then?
Well, it means that he can fully focus on the club, but at the same time, I'd still love to see the boy play for the national team because we all ken how good he is. But like, as well, if he when he decides to retire at Celtic, which means I think he's going to stay for another maybe 7 years or so.
Oh, jeez.
Such a good player.
He'll be my age in 7 years' time.
Steady. But I do take the point. I wonder, as Hugh said, about the... Not that like Germany was bad or the way it ended was disappointing. I'm not sure that's enough to automatically mean everyone then wants to retire, but you wonder if it did just feel like, you know, he's sort of done his bit, yeah, if you like. Yeah. If you look over that, the last... So he was the only player to score for Scotland at Euro 2020.
Yeah.
He scored goals that qualified Scotland for that tournament. I think he took part in those nerve-wracking penalty shootouts, didn't he? Started two out of the three at that tournament, started all three here. It probably feels like he's, you know, kind of just not done his bit, so to speak, but to go into another long campaign, Nations League, World Cup, it feels like a good time to draw a line.
You know, people tend to get nostalgic about these things and go on about the back-to-back tournaments and so on and so forth. But the fact of the matter is we did not have a good Euros when Callum scored his only goal, and we did not have a good Euros in Germany.
Not, but is that really linked to the decision? Well, that's what I'm trying to get to the bottom
of. I think a good point in that is, if you were probably to ask Callum McGregor the truth about did he enjoy the games that he played in, it would probably be a no in terms of the football he's used to playing. Did you enjoy that 90 minutes? Love pulling on the Scotland jersey, of course he would, but did he actually enjoy it, spend most of the time not with the ball, not really keeping the ball as a team? It'd be a good question.
Thank you very much to Dean on the line on 01419511025. That's the number you need to join in. I think we're about to speak to Jack on a similar topic. In fact, let's do it right now. Jack, what are your thoughts?
Hi, thanks for having me back on the show.
Pleasure.
I've been on before. I just wanted to talk, like, a special mention to Callum McGregor, obviously as a Celtic fan. I think he's served the country well, and I don't think, obviously it's a big loss because he is the captain for Celtic. He's a big presence in midfield, but I think as well we should also look to the future because we've still got Billy Gilmore there. Also, you've got Lewis Ferguson. We'll have more coming up. I'm just kind of wondering as well if there's any other players that are kind of thinking the same along the same lines. Obviously, not a lot of the players had a great tournament. So I wonder if there's some players like maybe Grant Hanley that might, or maybe players like that are kind of somewhat aged to Callum McGregor or a bit older. But I do respect his decision because he obviously, you could tell he was still recovering from such a bad injury this year. Obviously, we were lucky to have him in the Euros there, but you could tell he was still carrying that injury and you could still see he was fatiguing quite easily.
I suppose the thing is, though, some players don't really need to make the announcement. Callum McGregor wants to play less games, so he has to do it on his terms because he was going to be in the next Scotland squad otherwise, yeah, and he was going to play them all. If you are, I don't know, and I don't want to pick them out and be sort of unfair, but somebody who's sort of at the, you know, maybe makes the odd squad here and there, or maybe doesn't start many games, you probably don't need to make the big announcement. You can if you want, but Scotland might retire you rather than do you know what I mean? It might sort of peter out for people. It has done in the past. Not everybody makes a statement to say I've retired from international football.
You know, James Forrest had an Indian summer at Celtic. He helped them win the league and the Scottish Cup, and the fans were thrilled by his contribution, and he made it to Germany for the Euros and didn't get a minute of game time. So football knows no sentimentality. Stevie Clark thought no, having chosen him for the squad, gave him no game time whatsoever. So that's the way football works. And Callum McGregor simply had to make his decision now because, and announce it and make a very public announcement, because when you're the captain of Celtic and have 63 caps for Scotland, your retirement is a big deal. You have to handle it properly.
Jack is asking the question, Scott, what other players might follow, and purely on age, the ones that are above 30, if you like, are James Forrest, 33, Kenny McLean, 32, Ryan Jack, 32. Again, then Ryan Jack, I'm sure, would say, well, I've not got a club team at the moment, so actually I don't need to announce Scotland retirement.
Depends on the amount of caps they've had as well, because you do want to get as many caps as possible. I think players like Kenny McLean, Billy Gilmore, all these type of players, they'll be saying Billy Gilmore will now be trying to do what Callum McGregor's done, and that's seal a spot in that squad, a starting place in that squad as much as possible. Kenny McLean will be looking at it saying, well, that gives me a chance to maybe sneak in there and add some more caps to my name.
Yeah, I think Liam Cooper and Grant Hanley are 32. How does this make you feel that we're talking about 32-year-olds
I was just thinking there, you know, when I go from here, people will say, he had another year. I think he had another year.
Had to look after himself. Jack, how much can... I keep saying, will this benefit his Celtic career? It's quite obvious. That's the hope. Do you think this really prolongs it? You know, are you looking for him to have another good few years in there?
I think so. I think he's certainly more than capable of having a few more years at Celtic. Like, there's no denying that. I mean, I thought for a guy that's just came back from a serious injury, we're lucky to have him at the end of the season to help us lift a double. But I thought his performances were outstanding. I think as well, it's just, I think personally, he must have known himself that, like, the amount of games now footballers play is a lot more than what he's probably been used to. So obviously now in international games, you've got these friendlies, you've got Nations League, you've got all these qualifiers. Then if you're lucky enough to obviously be a team that goes through to a major tournament, then that's more game time. Then when you're coming back, you've only got two or three weeks to recover. And I think that's why as well, you were kind of seeing a lot of people on social media and a lot of people were saying how the quality of the games, and obviously we were all disappointed with Scotland's performance, but everyone's performances weren't great because the amount of games that these players are playing nowadays
it's a fair point, Scott, isn't it? Let's be all... We are interested in what Scotland do, and yes, they were poor, but that was a poor Euros. That looked like a Euros full of players that were tired.
Yeah, I touch on the intensity of this level of game, the Champions League, the high-end international games. You all have the stats. As soon as you come off the pitch, within 5 minutes, you've got all the stats. You know what you're doing, you know what you're covering, high intensity, and the total distance. And I can tell you, at that level, it's a lot, and it's consistently a lot. And Callum McGregor, a player who hasn't... I can't think of any time in the last 5 years where he's been out for a lengthy amount of time. He's played most games.
Last season was about as close as they got at one point. Anyway, thank you very much to Jack. We're about to hear from Philippe Clement. So Rangers fans, let's hear from you. Step up to the plate. What impact do you think it will have playing at Hampden tomorrow? The reality of it is here. Does it worry you? Will it be business as usual? How do you feel? Are you heading along? Because we've not actually heard from anyone. Have you got your seat? Have you got your ticket? How does it all work? Do let us know if you're heading to Hampden tomorrow. There was lots of interesting talking points from his press conference today about Robin Proper and Vaslav Cherny and whether they're ready to play 90 minutes or not. European football still ongoing as well. Todd Cantwell's situation, Yanis Hadji. There's a lot going on. So Rangers fans, we'll hear from Philippe Clement next. Why don't you join him?
141-951-1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here on 141-951-1025. We said before the travel, we're about to hear from Philippe Clement, which means Rangers fans, this is your cue. Give us a call. Are you heading along to Hampden tomorrow? I'd like to actually hear from someone who's going. Do you have your seat? How does that process work? Where are you sitting? What's the trip looking like? And then, even if you're not heading along, what about the football match? Spent all summer talking about it. Now that it's here, is it disruptive? Does it make a difference, do you think? How does it impact the football match? Give us a call right now if you can, 01419511025. There are other stories in there coming out of Rangers today about Cherny and whether he's ready to go in and play, and Robin Proper, what Todd Cantwell's situation is. So all of the above and more, if you'd like to join us on 01419511025 right now, please. Here is Philippe Clement, though. He says Hampden is the best solution for Rangers at the moment, and he also revealed playing in England was an option.
Yeah, I've been involved in that, about choices to make, and it was, for me, the best scenario, and not only for the players, for sure also for the fans, because we need to think about that, and that was for me also a priority, that they could feel in a way at home, not traveling much more than it is now. It's not a big difference. It's a little bit different maybe for people, but not a big difference. It would have been different if it was at Murrayfield, or it would have been in like a big stadium in England, for example. There were also other possibilities, but so I'm really happy that the club could find a solution together with the federation to play at Hamden. I think for everybody, it's the best alternative.
Oh, I'd love to know which one. I mean, geographically, you think in Newcastle or something like that, you would imagine.
Would never, ever
you're not going down to St Mary's, are you, for a home game? Would you take them at the Amex?
Not at all. How could you possibly ask supporters who are being disenfranchised anyway to pay the cost of going to England for a home game? That was an utter impossibility. And that there's absolutely no disadvantage to Rangers playing at Hampden, as we'll find out tomorrow. It's Motherwell's misfortune to go there with half a team, but it'll be no difference whatsoever. The only difference we'll find...
How can you be so sure, though? Because, look, Rangers might well win this game. That doesn't mean that there's no disadvantage. As an example, would you choose it? Absolutely not. So therefore, it's not ideal. But, it must be, even if it's a couple of percent.
Could you spell out where the disadvantage lies?
That's the thing. Obviously, everybody's going to be different. But if every single Rangers fan, player, official would rather not, then it must be.
Would you
say it must be less appealing than Ibrox? It's just not your home for whatever reason.
I throw out the question then: when Rangers reach a cup final, are they disadvantaged because it has to be played at Hampden?
I still think that's just reframing the question, Scott. As a player, if you're just told you can't play at home, it might not make much difference. Obviously you'd rather be at Ibrox.
Yeah, I think that's a no-brainer. You'd much rather be at Ibrox. That's your home. I think you said it there. I think we'll be in a much better position come obviously tomorrow and after the Dynamo Kiev game. Then you can see how it has affected them, or if it has affected them. I think Hugh has a point. To the fan, it just looks a green park. It's a big stadium. Your fans are there, but home's home when you're a player, and especially when you're a fan as well. So Ibrox has been really good for Rangers, you know, especially in Europe. So I think the tie against Dynamo Kiev will maybe tell you where it's at in terms of Hampden.
To be fair though, it's going to be one of those things that you're not going to be able to prove it. If Rangers win tomorrow, it doesn't mean that it wasn't an issue, and if they lose, it doesn't mean it was definitely why they lost. It'd just be up to us to speculate about it, I guess.
If you're Vaslav Cherny or Robin Proper, it's no disadvantage to you because you've never played at Ibrox anyway. I think we tend to go looking for an excuse. Ibrox is closed. Rangers' fault, but Ibrox is closed. England was never, ever a possibility. And now they're going to a ground that's 3 miles along the road from their own. There's no big disadvantage.
Jeff is on the line. Jeff, as a Rangers fan, what do you think? Does it have any impact tomorrow?
Well, it's a very hard question to ask because it's going to be the first game, so you don't know. I am going on Tuesday night, so I think I've talked to you about this before. I think it's the better of two evils, you know, to get to and from. And from a selfish point of view, I don't live far away from Hampden anyway, so I'm glad it is at Hampden. But I want to find out if anybody's listening from Rangers Football Club. I have got a ticket for Tuesday night, an e-ticket for Tuesday night. Now, on the e-ticket, it said that you have to print it out. Now, I've tried to do it today. I nearly lost my ticket. As it happens, I'm going over to Hampden tomorrow anyway to find out how we can sort this problem out. But I think the tickets are going to be a big problem.
We're going to need to get someone from the Rangers ticket office on. You lost Hugh Keevan's e-ticket.
Well, exactly.
So we're going to need...
I got it back.
Good. I'm glad.
I understand it.
I suppose what I'm saying to you, Hugh, right, see if it's definitely going to have no detrimental effect. Why did everybody complain? Why is it a big deal?
When it happened, I listened to this programme and people wanted to know, would they sit in a seat at Hampden that wouldn't get rained on and all that. Rangers, to be fair to the club, cannot satisfy the personal wishes of every individual in a 50,000 crowd. Somebody will have a complaint about something. They're too far away from the pies to a lot. Anything. But I'll tell you, Jeff, what a disadvantage is. A disadvantage is a Dynamo Kyiv player whose country had been at war for 2 years and doesn't know if his house is still standing.
But let's not conflate two entirely different issues. That those are unrelated. That doesn't mean that everything else in the planet just isn't worth mentioning.
Again, I go back to it. It's Rangers' fault that Ibrox is closed. Rangers have got a ready-made solution 3 miles along the road from their own ground because the National Stadium was made available for them. They're very fortunate. They get the same number of people to watch them. It is the National Stadium. They are at an advantage over Motherwell and Ross County because they're far better than they are.
Yeah, but they were at that advantage anyway.
See on the flip side of that, if Rangers do put together a really good home spell at Hampden and put a lot of wins together, it can be in their favour.
Try and stay there.
Come semi-finals. What, semi-finals and finals?
Because you're used to it.
Yeah.
And then that feels even more like home. I suppose, you know, Philippe Clement was asked today, doing anything in particular to, you know, acclimatise players, if you like, or have they gone along? Because you're right, some won't have been there before. Many of them will. I think the players will obviously just try and make the right noises about just focusing on the job, won't they?
Yeah, they'll be focusing on the job. They'll get there. It's not as if Hampden isn't a decent stadium. It's of a good quality. Mm. It's held Champions League finals. I think they'll see the pitch will be in really good condition. And you've got to do your job. That's your job as a football player, especially a Rangers player. There's a lot of responsibility that comes wearing that jersey. So they've got to go and do the business on the pitch.
I think that's where I'd meet you in the middle. That's where I would agree. It's a similar number of fans. You're not talking about being disadvantaged there. It's a big pitch, which tends to favour the so-called better teams. And it's a good pitch as well. So you're not being asked to go to somewhere that's tighter and different. So I would sort of agree with you. I just think it's unavoidable that this has been seen as a really less than ideal situation. So it must be even a couple of percent of a disadvantage, otherwise no one would complain.
But at the same time, you have another utterly unavoidable situation, and that is that Ibrox has to be closed because of a building issue, which is Rangers' own fault. So it's not as if they're going there when they had a choice. Ibrox is closed until Rangers tell us it's going to reopen. So I think they're fortunate to be just going along the road.
Someone's now going to phone in and say, actually, it's not Ranger fault, it's a supplier issue. And then we're going to be in we don't know much about anything, never mind how that sort of stuff works. But anyway, thank you to Jeff. You can let us know how you get along going there. Anyone going along tomorrow? Jeff's off on Tuesday. What about tomorrow? What are you expecting on the pitch? Does it make any difference? What does the logistics of it look like? Have you got your seat? How's that sort of stuff all working out? We like the people that are actually affected by this stuff to give us a call. So please do. And in the meantime, we will play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Another busy week. Did Gordon Dalziel lose on a tiebreaker last night? I think he did. We've had a few.
It was really funny.
Oh, that's right. He called Luke McCowan McGowan and then was furious that I didn't give him the answer. You're just not getting that.
Blamed it on a blister on his tongue.
that means.
It was an exercise in grotesque stupidity.
Did Marv do well the other night?
Marvin won 8-6. It was a four. They were quite gentle. Yeah. And do you know, he had the cheek. You know what he's like? He then put it on his Instagram. Video of his performance.
Pathetic.
You're right. That's the word to sum it up. And I told him as much. Anyway, your chance to play Beat the Pundit is next. 01419511025. And the lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Friday night with Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen. Where else would you rather be? The Scottish Premiership, the SPFL, getting ready for match day 2. As usual, the Championship kicks us all off on a Friday night. We're looking forward to that. And then big games across the weekend. So what have you got on your mind tonight? That's what we're trying to establish. Lots of reaction already to Callum McGregor's international retirement. Keep that coming. Does playing at Hampden make any difference to Rangers? Hugh Keevan says no. I wonder how you feel about it. And come on, please, don't disappoint an old man. He wants to hear from Kilmarnock and St Mirren fans on last night, because it was so good to get the draw. It was so good to do it in that fashion. Is it going to be enough? Based on what you saw last night, can you go through? We got a needle in the St Mirren game as well. We always like that. So 0141 951 1025. It is a great time to call because we are going to play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Again, for the second week in a row.
Oh,
it's up to the Friday night gang to try and rescue things.
Oh, I rescued it last week.
2-2 for the week. Marvin and Simon raced the Pundits into a 2-0 lead this week, but Cammy Bell and Gordon DL both losing on tiebreakers. It is 2-2, and in the most incredible early season revelation, Hugh Evans is top of the table on 2 wins from 2. What's that, honestly?
Back post Kibo.
Change days, honestly. Right, anyway, Lee is in Livingston. How's it going, Lee?
Not too bad, how's yourselves?
Not bad, Lee. Now, mostly, it's a debutant on Beat the Pundit, but I think you've played before. How did it go?
It was all right. I got beat off Mark Wilson.
That's not generally something people admit to. Was it a heavy defeat, a narrow one?
I think it was one question, but I got two. I had to pass on two Celtic questions as I'm not up to scratch on myself.
So. Like that. Just one of these. Just will only think about my team and my team only. Which is funny because I thought usually you all phoned in about the other team and had expert knowledge of it.
There was a guy during the week who answered that it was a Celtic question.
And he said, who cares?
Yeah,
exactly. It's always the risk of that one here, but we'll find out. Anyway, what's your record again? You played semi recently, did you not?
I think I've two out of two of one.
All right, okay. We'll see. Heads, it will be Hugh Evans. Tails, it will be Scott Allen. Let's see how we go here. It is Tails, it's Scott Allen. Hugh Evans gets a rest. So what we do here, Lee, as you well know, is give Scott some greatest hits radio in his ear. We turn it up nice and loud. We give you 30 seconds, Lee, and we just ask you to carry on through them and pass if you don't know the answer. Or you're welcome to pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Hey, but
good man then. We'll put that 30 seconds on the clock here, and your time starts now. Who did Callum McGregor score against at Euro 2020?
Croatia.
What stadium's got a bigger capacity, Hampden or Ibrox?
Hampden.
Who's the only Scottish Premiership player who's got 2 league goals this season?
Pass.
What Scotland international joined Las Palmas yesterday?
Pass.
Name either side in the men's football gold medal match at the Olympics.
Pass.
Who did Celtic beat on penalties in the Scottish Cup final in 2020?
Aberdeen.
How many Scottish sides has Alex Lowry made an appearance for?
3.
Okay, let's bring Scott Allen back. Scott, can you hear us?
Yep.
Good, same set of questions to you. Your 30 seconds going on the clock. You ready?
Yep.
Good man. Your time starts now. Who did Callum McGregor score against at Euro 2020?
Croatia.
What stadium's got a bigger capacity, Hampden or Ibrox?
Ibrox.
Who's the only Scottish Premiership player who's got 2 league goals this season?
Pass.
What Scotland international joined Las Palmas yesterday?
Scott McKenna.
Name either side in the men's football gold medal match at the Olympics.
France and...
Who did Celtic beat on penalties in the Scottish Cup final in 2020?
Aberdeen.
Okay. How do you think it went, Lee?
Rubbish.
Oh, come on. Got to be better than that. You got off to a good start, did you not?
I don't know. I think I got one of them wrong. I started shaking my head when I said the answer, so we'll find it.
Let's find out. Let's go through them. On question number one, you both got it. Callum McGregor scored against Croatia at Euro 2020. That was that great goal because we had we were doing live shows from Drygate during the Euros. And we were kind of getting filmed through them. So when Scotland score, we all jump up and we're cheering. Everyone in the pub's cheering. But Hugh, who's obviously seen it all before, fairly cynical, just sat with his arms folded, did not budge,
but
didn't even flinch. Just sort of just looked at his notebook and wrote something down. So I'll always remember that goal. The bigger capacity is Hampden. Not much
that's
in it.
That's the one I thought I got wrong.
No. You got it right. You're 2-1 up. Who's the only Scottish Premiership player who scored 2 league goals this season? Did you both pass it?
Aye.
Yeah, it was Oisin Smith of St Mirren, wasn't it? came off the bench. Yeah. Yeah, you've tried to forget about it with your Hibs connection. So it's still 2-1 to Lee. The Scotland international who joined Las Palmas is Scott McKenna, equaliser for Scott Allen. Joins Ollie McBurney there as well. What a random transfer. What an unlikely destination.
Bit of sun.
Mind you, if they offered me Las Palmas, I'd go.
You're trying to say you would choose Las Palmas over Kelty if it came calling?
I think
they'll be listening.
Place in the sun.
Yeah, so can't grudge you that. So Hugh Keevens has been in Anstruther all week, so he's been a nice wee bit of weather.
I was just about to say to Scott, I mean, I'm a community taxpayer in Fife, so I'll be looking out for Kelty Hearts. I'll be expecting dramatically improved performances from you.
You could pop down. You're both level there. Name either side in the men's football gold medal match at the Olympics. I only needed one. You were going to give me both France and Spain. Scott Allen takes the lead, and you both said the same answer, so it doesn't really matter. It was Hearts that Celtic beat on penalties. You remember it?
Yeah.
Sort of COVID times, empty stadium sort of thing. But you got through more questions, Lee. You had the chance to equalise. How many Scottish sides has Alex Lowry made an appearance for? You said three.
Two.
It's only two. It's Rangers and Hearts. That could have been. You could have pulled a Kilmarnock or a St Mirren and got a last minute equaliser there, but it wasn't to be. Third time lucky.
Hopefully.
Good man. That was Lee in Livingston. Thank you for taking part. Lee, you're a Rangers fan though, aren't you?
Yes.
What are you thinking this weekend?
Coming off of the back of the result through the week, hopefully that last minute goals gave the players a bit of confidence. Even the performance on Tuesday night was better than it was on Saturday, so hopefully that's just going to start picking up now and score a few goals and have better performances.
See, actually, the Hampden thing was that all part of the same package? So I suppose what I'm trying to get at here is, do people maybe feel less worried about the Hampden thing because you got a good result the other night? You know, I feel like had last Saturday at Tynecastle gone wrong, midweek against Kiev goes wrong, then playing at Hampden becomes a bigger deal. Does that make sense? Is that a possibility?
Obviously, it's no good no playing at Ibrox, and obviously fans, I don't go to the games anymore, but I know people that still do go, and the only thing they've really been moaning about is the seating situation, but I don't think it's a problem for us playing at Ibrox, playing at Hampden, due to the fact that it's a big park, and like, no disrespect to Motherwell, but they're obviously used to play on a smaller park as well, whereas Rangers are used to play on a bigger park. And Hampden's going to be filled with Rangers fans, with Motherwell only having that smaller away support. So I think it's no ideal. Obviously, we would rather be playing at Ibrox, but I think there's a few fans just blown out of proportion a wee bit.
Suppose what I mean, Hugh, and it's the first time I've done it this season, so don't hold it against me, your most hated word, narrative. Uh-huh. That's what we would have heard tonight. We drop points in the opening day, we've messed up Europe, and now we need to play at Hampden. But it all, everything in football is altered by results.
Cyril Dessers changed the whole mood of the camp at Rangers. If he doesn't score that goal, then it's a defeat on top of a draw where you lose 2 points to Hearts right away and Celtic win the following day. So I think you're 100% correct that there's a different mood now, and I hate to labour the point, but they're getting Motherwell at the worst possible time for Stuart Kettlewell, and that will lift the mood ahead of the return with Dynamo Kiev.
Yeah, the difference a few days can make, Scott. We need to probably make sure we're not going overboard. It was a draw, and that tie's still in very much in the balance, but it was a much better performance, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a lot better performance. I think Rangers were a lot more pragmatic, and sometimes, listen, we all want to play good football, but you need to do what you need to do to get results. It gives Rangers a great, I like to use the word advantage, obviously, getting into the second leg and would be favourites in my eyes now. I think Cyril Dessers, who comes under some amount of scrutiny, is a huge part in the build-up to the goal, and he's always in there. I know he misses chances, but he's always in there and secures a, a great goal for Rangers and puts him up for me in the driving seat.
Yeah, thank you very much to Lee, who had a narrow defeat on Beat the Pundit, and it means Scott Allen all of a sudden 3 from 3. Yeah, it's 100% record in his
I was quite
short
disappointed
career.
There,
is it time to make him minus one?
Absolutely not. What no. question disappointed you?
Hamden one.
That's that kind of fit. Not much in it. What is it, about 100 odd seats? It'll be more than that right now. Right enough. Yeah, 1,000 seats, sorry.
A thousand seats.
Something like that. But there we go. No, I think Oisin Smith's the one that should disappoint you. Being a Hibs fan, that should have been like a dagger to the heart last weekend.
But we were watching the Celtic game that day.
Of course,
they?
You were in yeah. here on yeah. Sunday. That's right. Well, we'll see what. So Hibs have been busy this week, of course, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. I think David Gray, obviously trying to get some attacking players in. He's said that since the get-go, since he's took the job. So I think it's not going to be an easy couple of games for him or Hibs, but it's a great chance to get the fans back on board.
The understanding is that Keenan Bowie cost, from Fulham, in the region of £600,000. And they've gone in again today for Luke McCowan and been turned down again.
Nicky Cadden, Junior Hoylett, yeah. both joined since the defeat in Paisley.
So clearly the Kelty Hearts game started the rot and the battering from St Mirren. So clearly, you know, whether it's Bill Foley's influence or the Gordon family or Malky Mackay or whatever, but Hibs have thought, right, we better nip this in the bud and restart.
Well,
there was chances in that St Mirren game. So first half, Hibs played reasonably well. It was actually at the back where they've actually strengthened with the problem as well.
It's going to be a terrific game on Sunday against Celtic.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not an easy game to kick it off, well, or to restart it, sorry. We'll get to that maybe a bit later. Let's go back to John, who's a Rangers fan in Clydebank. Hamden tomorrow, John. What are you thinking?
Good evening, guys. I suppose just more a point to Craig. Like Craig, you know, when he turned around and says about there's no disadvantage, you can't see a disadvantage. Well, they are. I said, I've got 3 hospitality tickets and they're expensive. They work out about £100 a game each. And I take my nephew and my son, who's both under 14, and the 3 seats aren't together. So now I can't even go to the game. I emailed Rangers last week, won them last week, and I'm still waiting to reply. So they are a disadvantage. It might not be a big disadvantage, as you said, the Ukraine war, but we're not talking about the Ukraine war. We're talking about Ibrox, we're talking about football. So I don't see how he can sit there and say it's not a disadvantage. I mean, it wouldn't be a disadvantage to him because he's a reporter and he'll go to the same seat every time he goes.
No, but to be fair, I don't like sticking up for him. It makes me feel a bit weird. But we're talking. He's saying, is that a disadvantage to the football team? We're sympathetic to any fan who is losing the, you know, financially or can't go to games or having to sit somewhere else. We get that, but he's not saying it's not a disadvantage to you, John. He's saying it's not a disadvantage to the team. What do you think about that angle?
Well, I also think it's a disadvantage to the team because you've not got the same acoustics in Hamden but you've got at Ibrox. So when you're roaring your team on, and your man Scott will tell you, the crowd carry you a long way, and the acoustics at Hamden are nowhere the same as the acoustics at Ibrox.
See, it's about the acoustics. You've overlooked
it. Honestly, I've never heard
so. The park's so far away.
It's further away.
Well, I know for a fact I've been there, you're singing. It's not the same as Ibrox or even Parkhead, but the acoustics are completely different in these stadiums to Hamden.
Listen, you've got the National Stadium acoustics. Give me a break. I mean, I did make the point that your individual case about corporate facilities is a perfectly valid one from your point of view, but Rangers can't possibly meet the personal demands of 50,000 people who have been turned into displaced persons and have to go to Hamden for a while. Rangers, and if they haven't given you a reply, then they should have given you one, but Rangers can't take care of 50,000 individual needs. And I'm sorry, but acoustics, we're getting more and more bizarre now.
I'd love it though, Philippe Clement came out tomorrow, 1-0 draw, listen, the acoustics just weren't there, and I would play that to you over and over, and John would be back on to put you in your place.
Philippe Clement will not say that. You know, he would just be too happy to have 50,000 fans there. And as I say, we'll get any number of callers who, you know, John's made the point about corporate facilities. Any number of calls about any number of topics, but be fair. How can Rangers take care of 50,000 individual demands? I used to sit there and it was nearer to the goal. The stadium is closed and it's Rangers' fault. they've got another one a few miles along the road, which is perfectly, perfectly acceptable for a game in the Scottish Premiership.
John, you sticking by it, the acoustics?
No, not at all. I'm not so much. Fair enough for the acoustics, but how hard is it to set pre-season tickets together in a stadium the size of Hampden? How hard is it to put you together?
I do appreciate that, but we would need someone from Rangers who deals in that particular aspect of the club's business. And I would ask them the same question. John says, how hard is it to put three people together who sat together at Ibrox? But I and Scott and Gordon can't answer that question. That can only come from Rangers.
I'd need to put my hands up and say, I don't know, no idea. But I'd imagine there will be challenges because it's not the same configuration. This, you know, the capacity's similar, but the stands might hold different amounts. It's laid out differently. I genuinely just don't know, but I can imagine that it might not be like overly straightforward, or it might have the odd complication. But John will agree to disagree on that, and you get back on, see if the acoustics play a part tomorrow. You put this guy in his place. That was John in Clydebank on 0141 951 1025. Let's do a bit more from Philippe Clement. I wonder how you feel about this, Rangers fans, right? We're kind of going round the houses on, does Hampden play a part, yes or no? I didn't expect to have a debate about acoustics, but there we are. That's the beauty of Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Who's going to play tomorrow? You know, there was a Hugh Keevans told me he was listening intently when the team came out midweek. There was rage all over the place that Robin Proper wasn't starting, Vasilav Cherny wasn't in the starting lineup either. Of course, the result ended up being a fairly positive one for Rangers. He says, Philippe Clement says, some players still need time before they're capable of playing the full 90 minutes.
We always hear things like, it's not possible that you take this one off, or it's not possible that this one doesn't start. But it's because people don't know all the details. And that's normal also. That's why they're fans. So I need to see to get results and let players grow and make them better. And Vaclav, like I said, I think he had six trainings now, until now. So it was before 4 weeks in holiday. So for him, it's like pre-season now. So people cannot expect him to play 90 minutes for the moment, although he would love to do. But he said also he needed, after every action, some time to recover. And he was a little bit frustrated about that, because he wants to be important for the club and to play more minutes, but he felt also that it was not possible. So we need to take in account those things. That's my job to do.
What do you think? Who should play tomorrow? Who shouldn't? Are you going to be nice and patient and understanding if the new players don't start? You do have Tuesday to take into account as well. So give us a call now, and I'm going to keep saying it. Where are you, St Mirren and Kilmarnock fans? Come on, we'll try and speak to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here. 0141 951 1025 to join in. We'd love to have you, so please step up to the plate. Let us know whether you're looking forward to the weekend, looking back on last night's European action. We're talking Hampden, talking Callum McGregor. There's a lot going on. Championship action tonight as well, of course. Now, it is that time of the night, though, where you two, an unlikely duo, have to combine on the full-time teaser. And it's a big thank you to Kieran and Shollins, who sent this one in. Can you name, this is Callum McGregor inspired, obviously, 10 former Celtic players, the 10 former Celtic players with the most Scotland caps, however their debut must have come after 1990. So it's a bit of a time constraint on it. Can you name the 10 former Celtic players with the most Scotland caps whose Scotland debut came after 1990?
Scott Brown.
So you're not going way back. Scott Brown, yes. He's got 55 caps.
Tom Boyd.
So including 1990 onwards. Did you say another name, sorry?
Tom Boyd, I said.
Yes. He's second top of this list. Yep.
Paul Lambert.
No, actually. One more guess and we'll move on.
Tosh McKinley?
No. So from Tom Boyd to Tom and Guruk on the line. How are you, Tom?
Good evening.
How are you? You well?
Oh, good evening. Oh, I'm very well.
Good.
Very well.
What's on your mind tonight?
A couple of things. Yeah, a couple of things, if you don't mind.
Go for it.
Good. You, Simon, for taking my call. Negativity, you know, from the first a day one, and obviously the game on Tuesday, and if we could maybe squeeze in, Craig, the scenario. Hugh, I've got a lot of respect for Hugh. He's talking about it's Ibrox fault with this problem, you know, having to move to Hampden, being involved in projects and engineering for nearly 35 years. You know, I've got a fair idea of what's happened. You know, it's the materials, there's been a delay, and there's only 4 mills in the world that basically produce steel. So the contractor, the MD, they put it out and they would turn around and say, right, we'll promise it, there's an order, you know, but they'll tell you anything to get an order. But what would happen, Craig, would be what's called LDs, liquidated damages, put in that clause, whoever's ordered that. So I would imagine Rangers will get liquidated damages back, you know, and to set up the whole Hampden scenario, it's cost a lot of money, which has obviously affected the purse at the end of the day for transfers and different things.
Yeah, I'm sure, Hugh, that bit is sort of factually true, where Rangers have had to obviously fit the bill for some of this.
Yeah.
And that's the bit that's definitely not ideal. I think what we were debating is, does it impact a football match or not? And I knew this would happen. I think whether it's Rangers' fault or a supplier's fault, and we've gone from acoustics to how many mills there are that make the steel. I liked Philippe Clement earlier. They must do it different in Belgium. He looked around the press conference room and he said, anybody in here ever built a house? And it was just silence. I think he was surprised. It must be really commonplace for people to build their own houses or whatever in Belgium. And he at least is accepting of that bit of it where it's kind of out with your hands. And it is at this point. Now we get to the football bit.
Yeah, it's certainly out with Philippe Clement's jurisdiction. And, you know, it was reported at the time that an employee lost his job because of what happened. But what's happened is in the past. Rangers now have to work out when they can return to Ibrox. But the only relevance that this business has for us is from a football perspective. And Rangers begin tomorrow, and for the life of me, I can't see that Motherwell are somehow given a better chance at Hampden than they would have had at Ibrox. The fact of the matter is that Motherwell are seriously disadvantaged because of injury. Motherwell would always have been at a disadvantage because they do not have anything approaching the quality of Rangers squad. And that's the only issue tomorrow.
So you don't think then, if you polled the Motherwell players and said, would you rather play Rangers at Ibrox or Hampden tomorrow? You don't think they would say Hampden?
I don't think they would care, because they would know that they were in for an almighty afternoon either place.
Bet you they'd say Hampden.
No? Why?
Because like we said, I think you're missing the...
Did Motherwell not get a result last year at Hampden?
Not... Ibrox, sorry. I know that not everything's black and white, right? Even I've tried to make this point before. Even if it's 1% of an advantage, you just would rather, and it doesn't need to be about Rangers. If you were going to play anybody and you weren't having to go to their home to do it when it was their home game, that's what you would choose. You just would.
I don't think that, you know, they may have personal preferences, but it doesn't make the slightest difference that they'll get gubbed anyway.
Let's hear from Stuart Kettlewell, actually, because he does have a lot of injury problems, as Hugh Keevans quite rightly points out. So these are the thoughts of the Motherwell manager.
I think that's what we're without just now, is about 8. Some clubs can absorb that, some clubs that probably wouldn't have any kind of impact. I've already alluded to the fact that I'm saying that everyone that's injured just now seriously comes into my thought process of playing and getting serious minutes in our team and contributing. So that's where it becomes an even bigger blow.
It's an incredible list at the moment, Scott. Yep. The kind of long-term ones as well that are stacking up, and Sam Nicholson, that I think most Motherwell fans hoped would fill the Blair Spittle creativity void, already up against it in a season to try and I know they have recruited, but it's an ask to replace Theo Bear and the contribution that he made. Guys like even Lennon Miller are doubt. Other long-term ones, Motherwell don't go there in good nick.
No, they don't. And I think to have the amount of injuries stacking up this early in the season doesn't look well for how it's going to go throughout the season. On the flip side, though, obviously with a new signing coming in, Theo Bear leaving, I think we spoke about it before, that Muller will always find a striker, someone who can score goals, so they're going to be heavily reliant on a bit of quality from the new signing. But going to Hampden,
you're going to just keep calling him the new signing?
Yeah, I'm not going to
think. I don't see what you're doing there.
Are you going to give us
Stamatolopoulos?
Stammer, yeah,
call him.
But listen, it's not a good situation for Muller, especially going to Hampden tomorrow to face a Rangers.
As you mentioned, they did have a good record against, or a decent enough, you know, got that result at Ibrox last season. Whether that gives you much to go on, it's at a different venue, as we've been hammering all night, and different players can still take some sort of confidence from it.
Yeah, well, if they had a fully fit squad, then I would say yes, but because they're so light and it's so early in the season, it's definitely not ideal.
You cling on to everything you can, though. I'm sure for the guys that were there, Stuart Kettlewell will try and sort of at least reference it.
Yeah, we'll have a game plan. Similar, like we said earlier about one door opening, it's a chance, it's an opportunity for a player who's maybe not had so much opportunity in the Motherwell team. So it's a chance to come in and do well and maybe put a run together and become a player who maybe wasn't going to be a main focal point in the team. There's always a chance for someone when there's players out injured. There's no question about that.
Let's bring in James and East Kilbride. How are you, James?
Thank you. How's yourself?
Yeah, good, thank you. Good. What are you thinking tonight?
Yeah. No, I was just picking up Hugh's point earlier on about the disadvantage of playing at Hampden. Now, when you're talking about is it going to be an advantage or disadvantage, well, I remember a couple of years ago Rangers played Celtic in a Scottish Cup semi-final because Hampden was closed. So Celtic had to come across to Ibrox to play the semi-final. Was that not an advantage? Or, likewise, if you move the other side to City, it's not your home, it's not your own home game, you might be playing somewhere else. And if it's Motherwell they're playing tomorrow, and it might be whoever thinks Ross County in 2 weeks' time, Rangers should be good enough to beat their teams. I understand that's where she was coming from. But it's still a disadvantage somewhere along the lines. Because if it comes to next May, and Hampden had to be closed down, would they play the game at Ibrox if Rangers were there? Or would they say it's an advantage to Rangers?
You still think Rangers will win the game ultimately tomorrow, though? So we're now sort of debating.
Of course, but it's still, it might be 1% a disadvantage. It's still a disadvantage.
I think that's kind of the point I was trying to make, and we're in danger to go round in circles. So, but you know, if it's described as not ideal, if it's seen as slightly negative news, then it must be a slight disadvantage. I think that's all I was trying to get at earlier. Otherwise, when the day it got announced, Philippe Clement would have said makes absolutely no difference to us, we'll be absolutely fine, and he didn't say that. So like I said, in danger of asking Hugh to repeat his stance on it, which he's made quite clear. James, what about the actual game itself? You've got new players in, there's a bit of debate about whether they should play and how much they can play. Are you hoping to see Cherney and Proper in from the start?
I would hope so.
I think Cherney's the last thing that Motherwell will need tomorrow, because he looks a class act to me. And I think Rangers have got themselves a player. And Proper, having played at the level that he has played at, I'm sure he'll be able to slot in very nicely. But I look forward to seeing Cherney on the big pitch with the... All right, the acoustics aren't great, but the pitch is big and he'll be... he'll be loving that. So we'll find out Proper's credentials, I think, on Tuesday, because when he comes in on Tuesday, that'll be a night when Rangers fans will be looking for a defender of Richard Gough's calibre, of Terry Butcher's calibre. So that'll be his big night. But tomorrow I look forward to seeing Cherney. I think he could be seriously dangerous where Mother are concerned.
I like it when managers sort of blow apart their own cliches that they'll mention throughout the season, Scott, because everybody always tells us you just take one game at a time and it's one game in isolation. But then Philippe Clement saying today, we've got to be mindful of Tuesday and how do you manage these guys. So what do you know? They don't take one game at a time. So I don't know whether, you know, does Cherney start tomorrow, come off early? Does he not start tomorrow but gets a bit of game time, then starts Tuesday?
I think he'll probably side on that, coming on last maybe 20,
so won't start
20 30 minutes, yeah, and get him right. Listen, I think he touched on him training six. He's only trained six times. They need to be wary of, obviously, his pre-season first and foremost, and him not getting injured. That's the main thing. That I think that's what he was kind of touching at in his interview today, was if they put him in too early, 90 minutes, and he's not had a proper pre-season, you do run the risk of getting injured as the season goes on.
And that if you were Rangers, even if it was just slightly, you were there on the side of caution, wouldn't you? Because I know these games are important and everybody wants to, you know, start the season, but it's a long old season mm-hmm. and everybody gets injured at Rangers at the moment.
Yeah, well, if we look back over the last few years, some of the vital players that have been out at important times for Rangers. So yeah, I think they're definitely looking at it from that point of view, because he did say that Cherney's obviously itching to get on the pitch, so they've actually took that decision out of his hands, and it seems like the medical team have said, listen, he's not had a proper pre-season, he's only trained six times, we need to manage this player properly.
James, how much difference does a positive result in midweek make? Oh, he's just disappeared. I thought we were going to get him back. James, give us a call back or we'll try and
I'll answer your question
and get him back.
I don't think it can be underestimated. I think if Rangers had lost 1-0, then it would have added to the disappointment of their performance and the result at Tynecastle, and it would have been a different atmosphere altogether. I think Desser's last minute goal just changed everything in an instant.
Interesting, you know, not just about the guys, how fit they are, and sort of tactically, you know, said it earlier on, it was good, it was a good end, but I don't think Philippe Clement will think that's everything fixed, because he was asked about, you know, Jeffrey playing further up the pitch, and he was happy that he came in, but then he said, you know, it's not something I really planned, it was just more if other players aren't performing, you kind of have to do that. So Rangers still, you know, are without Cortez. They're still at some point within these two games, if it's, you know, going to have that rotational feel about it, they're going to need to have something out of McCausland or Wright or Matondo, you know, these guys that don't play a lot of football.
It's huge opportunities for players like Scott Wright and McCausland to come in and influence big games for Rangers and really get their Rangers careers going. There's no question about that. There has been a lot of opportunities for their players and they've not exactly always took them, so there is a massive opportunity there. I think with with Hefty, in terms of the playing higher up, you want your fullbacks coming onto the ball. It is a different, I know it's only maybe 20 metres higher up, but you're receiving mm-hmm. the ball differently, and it did influence the game, and so did Cherney when he came on with a great delivery and looks really sharp. But listen, there's players that have played for Rangers and had lots of chances in big games who now need to step up.
James is back. James, we were just discussing how much difference you think that late equaliser ultimately makes going into this league game, the one in midweek.
It's absolutely massive, because it's going to change the mindset of them, because now they're on track to go and chase it at 2-0, looking to qualify. They can play it their own way and make Kiev have to come out if they score first. I was listening to Scott there talking about the journey, but up until that point I wasn't impressed with him, and I'm going to say it's lack of match fitness because of maybe the Euros and his time off. But also, Hugh Keaton's was saying about proper. I still think that's what needs a commanding centre half. But now that Goldson's away, I still see the weakness down the right hand side with Tav going forward. Now the ball came in. See the goal they scored. See that they lost a similar goal against Celtic quite a lot of times. The ball came across. Goldson out to cover Tavernier. The other centre half had covered Goldson, and then Barrett was run in, and Celtic scored a tap in. And Barisic gets slaughtered. Now the goal came from a different side, and it was the exact same thing, but it was Taverna that got caught out as well. So I still see a weakness at the fullbacks. Yilmaz I like going forward, but I still see a big weakness there. And it's the same goal they're losing all the time. But going forward wise, I think that goal was massive for them, and it could possibly nick a 2-1.
Well, we will see. Thank you very much to James on the line on 0141 951 1025. On the full-time teaser tonight, can you name the 10 former Celtic players with the most Scotland caps whose Scotland debut came 1990 onwards? So Tom Boyd, Scott Brown,
Craig Gordon.
Yep, top of the list, 75
Craig Burley
caps. Yes, bottom of that 10, 46 caps.
Lee Griffiths.
Nope. So 46 caps you need to get on this list. So it's a fair innings.
So James Forrest is not a former Celtic player, is he?
He's not on the list.
No.
So I mean, it's former Celtic players. Yeah. Any more for now?
Darren Jackson.
No. There are a few sort of still. What the clue I would give you? There are some that are former Celtic players but are still in the Scotland squad. If that makes sense. Which former Celtic players are in the Scotland squad currently?
Jack Henry?
No.
No.
more obvious than, I mean, he is one, but he's not got the right number of caps. More obvious than that, I would say, in terms of
Joe Armstrong.
Yes. And similar area of the pitch, similar Ryan time Christie. At Celtic, Ryan Christie. Okay, we'll get the rest of the answers and we're going to get reaction to the games in Europe for St Mirren and Kilmarnock and look ahead to the weekend. That is all ambitious to squeeze into the final part of the show, but we'll do it next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are in the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We are looking for the following 10 former Celtic players with the most Scotland caps whose debut came after 1990. So you're doing pretty well.
Jackie McNamara.
Oh, hold. You've got Craig Burley, Ryan Christie, Stuart Armstrong, Scott Brown, Tom Boyd and Craig Gordon. What was one did you just give me there?
Jackie McNamara.
No.
Sean Maloney.
Sean Maloney is on the list. I was doing a wee stewards inquiry on one there that I was a bit worried about.
Charlie McGrew.
Yeah, 44 caps, so he's not on it. That's fine. What did you say, Sean Maloney?
Sean yes. Maloney, Charlie 46. McGrew.
No, so McGrew's got 44 caps, so two fewer than Craig Burley. Three to get. I'm confident we can get them before the end of the show. Let's hear from some reaction to last night. Who kicked off first again? It was Kilmarnock, wasn't it? Let's hear from Derek McInnes. He's pleased with the spirit his players showed to get the late equaliser, but admits they will need to defend better next week.
Off to a great start. I thought our press was good. I thought it spooked them a wee bit. Delighted to go in front. But I think they look more game ready. They're where we would be in January, you know, in the season, 18, 19 games into the season. But what pleased me was the fact that the way we finished the game, the spirit, that was us all over the back last season. That's why we're in Europe, because we never know we're beat. We keep going. A really special moment for Bobby Wales. I know they get their goals, but the goals don't come from them playing through us. The goals come from a scoop clearance for Robbie up in the air, and they play from that, and we don't react well enough. And the second goal comes, it's the type of goal that they score in their own league with that counter-attacking threat. From our corner, it's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous goal to lose for us. But great spirit, great determination. You always remember how a game finishes. I think they think the game's won. It's no. We'll look forward to next Thursday.
Confident man. And I've liked his attitude, because he hasn't complained going to Celtic Park, getting turned over. They had lost in Europe prior to that. And whatever comes his way, Derek McInnes is saying to his players, we should be delighted to be involved at this level. So he'll go there with a very positive attitude, but I do think that both Kilmarnock and St Mirren are under pressure in Norway.
I think the difference being, you know, we will just lump them all together. You know, Tromsø are, they're fourth bottom in that league. Brann are second, right? So like on paper, that's why St Mirren have got a much tougher task. I think you may be watching the two games. St Mirren probably felt a bit more up against it than Kilmarnock were last night. I wonder if, listening to Derek McInnes, he's taking confidence from the fact that you never want to lose soft goals, but they are, at the moment they are losing very un-Kilmarnock-like goals. So maybe the assumption is that if you just get that bit right, they're not going to do that forever. They do still have a chance going over there.
Well, I do think they've got a chance. I think, like you said, very unfamiliar goals that Kilmarnock concede, but if they just get the wee bits kind of ironed out and they go across there, and we know that they can put on a very disciplined defensive display. We've seen them do that, and that's very, very the norm with a Derek McInnes team. So if anybody in terms can go across and maybe make a game a bit ugly at times and nick a 1-0 win, it'd be a Derek McInnes team.
And as I said, what a moment for Bobby Wales. If you're a academy graduate, local youngster, and you go and do that, Hugh, you won't forget that in a hurry.
Well, I like the approach that Derek has taken, and Stephen Robinson, Stephen Robinson actually used the word fairy tale about all that was going on around St Mirren in Europe. And, you know, for Bobby Wales, there is certainly a fairy tale aspect to his appearance last night.
I liked a bit of needle as well in the St Mirren game, because Brann were angry. The play, well, I'll let Stephen Robinson explain it. He was basically responding to the Brann manager's anger that St Mirren scored after not throwing the ball back to them.
A lot of strong reactions in Norway about that situation. People calling it unfair. The club president of Brann says he's disappointed about the way it happened. How was your response to that?
My response was the same as I just answered. I was sitting watching the Tuossi incident with your goalkeeper. So I didn't see what led to it. I will say I think it was a minute after the throw that happened. So we didn't score directly from the throw. I asked the players and they said they refused to throw it back because they felt that the player was going down with cramp and it was time wasted.
Fair play from St Mirren, the way you see it.
Well, I could argue back and say he's going down with cramp and is he time wasting?
Don't mind that. And when you see it back, you know, the clip of it, and the game had got that way a bit. If it is cramp and your goalie's just putting the ball out of play and expecting the other team to always give you it back.
I have two words for those who complain. Boo-hoo.
What's your take on it, Scott?
Listen, I think in the games, and there's a lot at stake, guys are going to go down. I've been that player myself, maybe a couple of minutes to go, taking a wee nudge down and playing the game, as they would call it. I think in terms of what Stephen Robinson said, there was a lot football played after that had happened, so they didn't defend well enough after it, first and foremost, and St Mirren capitalised.
I quite like it. Well, I've had a goal in the Championship game tonight. It's Ayr 1, Airdrie 0, with only 7 minutes on the clock. It was a nice strike into the bottom corner. Sun shining down at the seaside. We love the Championship Friday night football, and Jay Henderson has opened the scoring for Ayr.
Terrific goal. And you know, Ayr started this season well. They could be an outside bet for promotion.
And obviously high hopes for Airdrie as well. So we'll keep an eye on that one as the evening progresses, I'm sure, and report back to you tomorrow. Let's just a quick word, if you like, a nod to what's going on this weekend. Obviously we've done a lot on Rangers Motherwell and the acoustics at Hampden and honestly,
I'm loving the look of Dundee Hearts for a start. Awkward kickoff time for us tomorrow, but
yeah,
great Dundee derby last Sunday.
I loved it, honestly. It's the first one I went to. I loved it.
And Hart's performance against Rangers at Tynecastle was first class. That could be a terrific match.
Yeah, County Dundee United as well. Again, both involved in draws in the opening weekend. Different draws. The Ross County one at Motherwell, maybe not that eventful. Dundee United, as we've covered in the Dundee derby. So it's a weird schedule. It's only Rangers Motherwell and County Dundee United at 3 o'clock tomorrow. Dundee against Hearts at 5:30. And then on to Sunday, we spoke about Callum McGregor. What we didn't really speak about is you know, the wider sense, how good were Celtic at the weekend, and can your old team do anything against them in the capital on Sunday? Do they have a good record?
Yeah, they've got a really good record at Easter Road, but it's a really tough ask, especially me and Hugh watched Celtic on Sunday, and they were excellent. Like, speaking about how disciplined the Kilmarnock team are, and they made it hard for them. Celtic still found the spaces. They had incisive passes kind of coming from everywhere, so it's going to be a real difficult game for David Gray and Hibs. But on the flip side of that, it's a chance to get a bit of positivity. If you can put a run together, then you put yourself in good stead.
And I've eventually cracked it, Hugh. It's taken me to the end of the show. I've realised that I know why Callum McGregor announced that today. It was to try and make the Celtic fans get through a full episode of Clyde One Super Scoreboard without mentioning Adam Ida or Matt O'Reilly. And we've nearly done it. The music is about to play. Adam Ida's move is close. It's at advanced talks. There's another bid gone in, and we've not even mentioned it. All down to Callum McGregor.
I was 55 when Celtic first moved for Adam Ida.
Watch this space. Aberdeen against St Mirren as well. Kelly St Johnson over the weekend. Any more on the teaser? You need to give me three more quickly. Former Celtic players with the most Scotland caps whose debut came after 1990. Craig Gordon, Tom Boyd, Scott Brown, Stuart Armstrong, Ryan Christie, Sean Maloney, Craig Burley.
Stephen Presley.
Nope.
Clues.
You've not finished with the goalkeepers.
Goalkeepers.
Craig Gordon, Alan McGregor, and David Marshall. They come as a three usually in Scotland. What about 55 caps? Former Hibs and Celtic. He's just like you, sort of. Hibs and Celtic. He managed Partick Thistle. He's now managing down the road.
Martin McLeod.
No! Gary Caldwell.
Oh,
there we go. Yeah. Just and like me as a player, I thought you were talking
about. No. And the last one, you've just fallen for it. You're doing what everybody. Let's just say he is a former Celtic player, but everyone associates him with being a former Rangers player.
Mo.
Kenny Miller.
Oh! Your time Kenny frame Miller. Is all off here. Kenny yeah. Miller. There we go. Thank you, Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen. We are back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Make sure you join us, and the GBX is up next.